You're listening to Inside iOS Dev, a show about real-world iOS development, here with your host, Andrew Rohn.
And Alex Bush.
And today we're going to do a recap of WWDC 2018, kind of the two big talks, Platform State of the Union, which is the big talk for the developers, and the keynote, which is kind of for everyone. Today's just going to be a quick overview of the highlights and some of the major themes. And we hope in later episodes to kind of dive into more specifics.
Yes. And in terms of, I guess, kind of one thing we wanted to do with this episode, focus more on developer stuff, right? Things for devs.
This is Inside iOS Dev. So as usual, we want to get straight to stuff that will be helpful for you as a developer. So we're not talking Animojis or Memojis as great or not great, whatever your opinion is about them, as those are. This is about getting you, a developer, up to speed.
Yeah. And that's why Keynote specifically actually wasn't as rich in terms of information for devs.
Right.
And just quickly kind of going through highlights, the notes that we have. iOS 12, improvements there, but specifically faster on older phones. They kind of paid attention to that.
Right. There was a lot of people. There was the thing with the throttling, with the battery going low. There was some outcry, and it sounds like they addressed that, which is great. Right.
Yep. Then another one is, and we'll get to that specific thing actually later, but new file format, USDZ.
USDZ for AR.
For AR, yeah. It's 3D file format for 3D, whatever,
models.
3D models for AR.
Yeah.
Then there is AR Kit 2, and multi-user support for it.
Right.
So essentially can have multiple...
You can have multiple users experiencing the same environment and interacting with it. It's great.
Then the next thing is was announced Siri shortcuts.
Basically what happens here is you can assign phrases to actions in your app, and now with this Siri shortcuts thing, it will hook into your app and do whatever action you want to do. They also provide the Shortcuts app that will allow users to create multi-step shortcuts in throughout multiple applications. So I think the example they gave is one of the speakers said, "Hey Siri, I'm leaving home," or something like that.
Right.
And then she set it up to where the Maps app loaded for directions home, and then NPR started playing on the radio because she likes to listen to NPR, and then
Apple Home executed a bunch of commands.
Yeah, Apple Home, I don't know, turned on her lights, read her home, and so that was another thing. Siri shortcuts was a big announcement.
Yep. The other thing announced, notifications improvements, so now you can turn them off. There are more control on what the time when they show or what
in general
apps
they empower users to have more control over their notifications. So as a developer, you can argue whether this is good or not for you. I guess if you like to spam users, this is probably making it harder. So, I don't know. I'm happy about it. I like to not be spam. You have group notifications. You can tune your preferences on notifications better. It just gives users more control. I like it.
I'm very excited
about
that.
Some PM somewhere are going to cry, but, you know.
Right. I'm very excited personally about the grouping and notifications.
Notifications are getting out of hand. It's nice to have this. There's also this new features on controlling, giving users empowerment of technology kind of creeping into our lives. You know, you wake up in the morning, you check the phone, and then you realize, you know, it's a Saturday morning and you've laid in bed for 4 hours, and the only reason you have to get up is because you finally have to go to the restroom. And so now they have this certain features.
Time.
Yeah.
Yep.
Certain features where they'll tell you, hey, well, so they do have, like you said, Alex just mentioned the screen time thing where it gives you a summary of how you're using your iOS device, meaning what apps you're using and then how many notifications you're getting from apps. And then there's also other features where you can say, let's say you're a Twitter addict, you can set a feature where it says after an hour of Twitter use in the week or whatever, I guess, interval, there'll be a notification that says hey, you know,
get off that app.
Yeah.
Just remember, guys, don't use it on Reddit. No, no.
Yeah.
But no, yeah, that thing's awesome, actually. Insights into your usage patterns for each app, and you can set limits.
This is great because, well, I mean, personally, for just me and you, Alex, because we're productivity. We like to improve our productivity. WatchOS 5 out.
Yeah, we're not super excited, but
we don't use Apple Watch. But for people who do, you have Siri shortcuts on there. You can now view web content on there, and the podcast app, which is actually great.
Yeah, listen to Inside iOS Dev there.
Exactly, perfect. Always be promoting. No, this is nice. Really, for me, I've never gotten an Apple Watch, but I think I'm probably going to get one soon because I would use it more for fitness. I like to run, and I'm personally into fitness. So things like listening to podcasts and music and things like that, I would find it useful for. And of course, like the fitness features. But anyways, that aside, those are the new things, WatchOS 5 and those new features. Apple TV, personally, we care even less about this. But
I do have Apple TV, the old one.
I've never even used Apple TV in my life. Sorry to let people down. Dolby Atmos is added onto their support for Dolby Atmos.
The other announcement is macOS Mojave.
Mojave. There's going to be a lot. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway. Between that and iPhone X, and Mojave, there's going to be a lot of
Mojave
mispronounced.
I'm a foreigner, so don't trust that. Anyway, dark mode. That's a dev related feature as well, actually, because now you can support that in your apps.
Right.
But that's not for iOS though.
Yeah.
That's for Mac. Security privacy improvements.
This is also on Mac OS, yeah. Well, I actually don't know if this was also on iOS, but yeah, there are security privacy improvements, which is great. One thing that I really liked was the security improvements that are baked into the Safari browser itself,
right.
Where they're like trying to stop the cookie tracking and the things like the fingerprinting. And fingerprinting is where they try to find a conglomeration of little data points on your computer, and then what they do is they can say with 99% accuracy, this is this user. So now what they're doing is they're just exposing less data so that you have more privacy. Again, some PM is probably, product manager is probably sad about this, or some app developer who uses this a lot, but I like it personally as a user.
This upsets me greatly. Yeah. I like tracking people. I'm kidding. But no, as a business owner, I guess you don't have as much power anymore, but then it's good for privacy overall.
It's good for society.
So yeah, now let's switch to platform state of the union.
Yeah, we're just going to hit a few things. Again, most of this stuff, we're going to try to just cover the stuff that really matters to you as a developer. We're not covering actually everything today. This is just a quick overview. But some of the things here, one thing is your purpose string. So the purpose string is like, let's say you're requesting access for their camera. Right. Mm-hmm. Or their location.
Or even push notifications.
Where you're getting data from them. Your purpose string is basically that string that pops up when their system alert shows up and it's like, hey, can I use access your photos? You cannot anymore just put some generic vague thing like this.
Because I need it.
Yeah, because I need it. There you go. Because I want your photos. I want to see them. This app uses it. You now have to say, we use photos so that we can organize them in your some album that we show you, whatever. So you have to have I think they said it was like three requirements. It has to be specific, explain how you use the data, and provide an example. And if it's too vague, they may reject you.
The implication is the Apple review process. It's not really the code thing per se, right?
Right, this is more like, review process.
Yeah, but you should be aware of that as a developer, right? Because, you might just communicate that ahead of time to your PM again, right? Or someone in charge of that stuff. Another change, big addition for iOS specifically was password API. I'm actually not sure how it's called.
Basically, they're going to, in iOS 12, you're going to be able you're going to have the system is providing a way for automatically generating these strong, unique passwords and then storing them and auto-filling them. And this can be used across devices for users. So this is a really great feature as a user. But for you as a developer, what you can do with this is that you can tap into this and you mark your, I guess it would probably be your UI labels or something, or not your labels, your text fields, right?
Right.
And
for you mark them for autofill, essentially.
For the autofill, and so which I guess would be your username and then your password. And then you hook into that to be able to have your users use this new iOS API to, autofill it. So that's nice.
Or generate new password if they're signing up, right?
Yeah. One thing you need to know if you want to use this, you got to associate your app with your domain. If you've already implemented universal links, you've already done this step.
Mm-hmm. The other side of the equation, though, so that one was for consuming it and kind of having users use that API in your app. But another side of the equation, you could there's actually a new extension for developers of password managers, such
like
as
OnePassword, LastPass.
Yeah, exactly. So you can, those apps can offer I guess their service as a backend storage for those passwords for autofill, which is pretty awesome, because at first I thought, oh man, 1Password got Sherlock big time, but no. It's actually really good. Tighter integration.
It's actually, better experience.
Oh, and also they're kind of pushing more and more related to that on two-factor authentication. Another addition to tooling and tools that developers can use, in Xcode 10, extended instruments capabilities.
Right.
Essentially, they're letting you add more. I guess they're like function calls in your code for profiling your application.
Right. So you have this OS log and OS signpost that you can put into your application code, and it's like you set these trace points, and basically these trace points as they're hit, you can run the profiler and see these points of interest being logged. And the example they used was they added these signposts in like a network request. And so they were able to look at that in the profiler and then see like, oh, this network request is taking long, and then the parsing of the data is taking long. And so, you know, just so with that, you can get better
better logging,
instrumentation,
right?
Logging. Yeah.
Another addition.
Big one. The UI. Going to go into the UI?
Okay, yeah, let's go there. There's more, but let's go there.
Okay.
So it's not out yet. It's going to be, as far as I recall,
2019.
But UIKit, they're working on something to port UIKit applications.
Marzipan is real. Confirmed.
Yeah, right? To port that to Mac, and essentially being able to translate clicks to touches and drags to, well, I guess drags.
The short of it is they're taking a subset of UIKit and having it be able to be used in Mac OS such that you can reuse that code. Now, I guess this is maybe controversial, is not the word I'm looking for, but somewhat controversial because it's hard to exactly map iOS UI.
Single window UI.
Yeah.
Or full
concepts
screen
and metaphors over to a desktop experience because they're different things. Clicks, multi-click, drag, you know, multiple selection drag. So all that. But, you know, they did show that Apple themselves has already created several apps and they looked pretty nice. But you can still tell there's a little bit of a difference where it's like not the true full Mac experience. But this is really interesting because there was a lot of rumor about this. And this is great because if this is a good start, if they can make it even better and you can get even more code reuse out of this, then it might be a way for probably it'll never be – well, actually,
well, we'll
not
see.
Even probably, likely – it will never be exactly the Mac OS experience, mm-hmm, the true, because UI code is just so specific to whatever platform you're on. But you know, if you just want to save time and just want to have at least a little something, I think this is useful. This is great. This is cool.
Yeah, and the example they showed, they took an iPad app and kind of translated that into this Mac thing, which makes a lot of sense. It's one single window, right? And then you have your table view list and detail view on the side. Made sense.
This was probably the most exciting development to me as a mm-hmm. developer, because I find this very interesting.
And for me personally, that's actually very promising in the sense of, well, you know, more code reusability and meaning less, more native apps on Mac as well, which means less JavaScript apps, less Electrons of the world, and all that's tough.
Right, but I still think that AppKit's going to have its place because, like we were saying earlier, yeah. you're never going to have the full... I just don't think you really can... things like, I guess, with the React Native and things like that, it's never going to be the true mm-hmm. native experience because you're trying to unify things that really are not the same, so it's always an approximation.
Yeah.
But anyways, that's a topic that we've talked about and we'll talk about in the future. Let's move on.
So another announcement that they made for Mac specifically, but that was very interesting to me. That's why it's noteworthy. Notary services. Essentially, this is for app developers who distribute their applications outside of App Store. Apple now will act as an intermediary between them and the user, and you can sort of sign your app and verify it with Apple, but then not distribute it through App Store, but distribute it instead on your website. And when the user downloads it and installs it, it's going to, roughly speaking, say, oh yeah, Apple blessed this thing.
This is Apple blessed. It's great. Yeah. Moving on. Improvements to Xcode 10 and source editor. Code highlighting is going to work better now with Swift. I think it's, you know, the code highlighting is just a known yeah. problem. It's not the greatest at times. Code completion is going to provide better results with more confidence. Colored highlighting for source control. So there'll be these colored bars on the side, and for the different like Git status of those,
like conflicts, let's say with the remote, they'll tell you right away that the line you're editing is going to conflict with the master, roughly speaking.
Right. Well, I guess that's one. But then with these colored bars on the side, as you're typing code, in the Xcode itself, what it'll show is colored bars for different statuses, like, oh, this is an uncommitted, mm-hmm. Unstashed change, and this is like a stashed change. And so that's just kind of this integration with your source editor and being able to view it right from Xcode, which is nice.
Right, and they're also extending Xcode integration with, what was it, Bitbucket and GitLabs, I believe, and GitHub? Those three.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, yeah, and then also, what else here?
Oh, multi-cursor editing.
Multi-cursor editing, this is a really nice...
Yeah, you love this one.
I love this one. I'm an AppCode user. I've been an AppCode user since I first started working at Wanilo, because they introduced it to me there. Way better editor than Xcode for refactoring specifically. It's super powerful. And this is one feature that I really liked in AppCode. And let's say you have, like... 5 properties that you want to prefix them all with some prefix. Well, now you can, with the multi-cursor, you can type and all 5 of them will update. This was already an app code, but now that it's an Xcode, I'm very happy because I use this all the time. It increases your productivity.
The other feature they announced that I'm happy about is code folding in Swift specifically, because that used to be a thing in Objective-C, I believe, and then they took it away or something. Like, I couldn't find it last year or more,
right,
in Swift code, and now it's gonna be back. Yay.
Right. LLDB now has faster startup. That's great. And also 5 times faster device symbol downloads, so that's great. Speed always better. In terms of testing, there were some really nice additions. There's these 3 new testing workflows. You can check off these different options. It's automatically include new test, randomize execution order, and execute test in parallel. I think the executing test and parallel one is the most interesting.
It's amazing.
This works for both unit test and UI test, and so this is going to make both of them run way faster.
Yeah, like right? 4 or 5 times depending on your cores and the resources available on your machine.
Right.
Also a small thing, but unit test execution randomization, the order randomization is actually pretty important, because quite often people write tests and there is a leftover state and they're interdependent on each other being executed in the order, right? And you don't notice a bug, let's say, right?
Right. Yeah. Unit test and dependency is bad. Yeah. So this can help reveal that, which is nice. 2 times faster rebuilds, 20% less memory use, which is great for building.
Yeah, I can't wait for this one. I'm dying at work.
Yeah, this is gonna, I'm sure this is gonna make a lot of people happy.
Swift 4.2. That seems to be coming now, and Swift 5 a bit later, right?
Swift 5 is coming early next year. It's focused on binary compatibility.
Swift's going to be shipped with the OS itself.
Yeah, that's a big announcement.
Which means you don't have to package it in your app, which means your IPA size is smaller.
Yeah, which means smaller downloads for your users, and it's gonna, you're also going to get faster launches of your app.
Yep.
Another big theme was machine learning. seems like Apple is really highlighting this, along with AR. I guess they think these are the future, and I actually would agree. Basically, I think with machine learning, we're going to probably go into these deeper, but just to go over them quickly here, it's just improvements, with a more accessible API. They have improvements in vision and natural language processing.
Those seems like the two they're focusing on the most.
Yeah, and it seems that those are kind of the most useful.
Most impactful,
right?
Yeah,
it's crazy. CoreML was just introduced last year. They're introducing CoreML 2 this year, and it's crazy how fast it's developing and growing, and I think that's a good thing.
And they also made an adjustment there, kind of similar way how they're going to be shipping Swift 5 with the OS. They're going to be shipping I'm not an expert in this, I forgot how they call it, but kind of, I guess, portions of that models that they ship with CoreML for image and language recognition, so that you don't have to ship them within your models that you're training. Therefore, your files for the models going to be way smaller, and like effectively your app's smaller.
Nice.
Same way if you use a machine learning.
Yeah, they also hit on the shortcuts thing, which we touched on earlier. That was in the State of the Union. Basically, like we said earlier, these shortcuts, you can expose shortcuts to get into your application through Siri. So that's great. I think at Uber, the perfect use case is you expose a shortcut and you can say the user assigns the phrase, tell Siri, hey Siri, give me a ride to work, and then, boom. Now that's like so much easier than having to open up the app. Great. There's probably tons of use. That's just one I can think of right now. AR again. There's
a new file format.
Yeah.
USDZ for augmented reality models. Multi-user improvements, right?
Yeah,
new feature.
Well, yeah. So multi-user experience and this interactive, simultaneous. And a lot of other improvements, which we will likely go into in another video, but yeah, that's it. I think overall the big themes here were, improvements in Swift and your Xcode source code,
tooling.
Yeah, kind of your tooling as a developer. That's one aspect. Machine learning was another major theme. Another major theme was AR, and then kind of a bigger new feature is the shortcuts API. and then what were the other kind of other big themes?
I think that kind of covers it. I mean, tools, instruments, profiling.
Yeah.
But yeah.
And I think the major theme of this WWDC just if you were to kind of put it in one sentence or kind of one major theme, was it was improvements in terms of like performance and stability.
Quality improvements, I would say. Yeah.
So this WWDC, I think a lot of people were just not blown away or didn't have some huge, you know, there wasn't some huge groundbreaking announcement. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But, you know, I think a lot of people were clamoring for this improvements in terms of stability and performance. And so we got it. And so I think that's good. I think that's what we needed. So next WWDC will be the, maybe we'll see a bigger announcement. And hey, less new tons of millions of APIs to have to relearn.
I know, right? I actually like this kind of WWDC announcements. It's more quality, improving existing things rather than fanfare of new crap.
That's one way to put it. So that's it.
Yeah. Well, as we said, we're gonna kind of dive into details in some of them into some of them in next recordings,
later videos. Yeah. We'll release those. But yeah, that's about it. Thanks, guys, for listening. You can find us on Twitter at @InsideIOSDev, and check out Alex's book.
The iOS Interview
Guide. iOSInterviewGuide.com. Check it out if you're going for an iOS interview. That book will. That's the job that get me. 3 different offers when I was last interviewing and got me my job at Reddit. So check it out.
Yep.
All right. Thanks, guys.
All right. Bye.
Bye.